We're continuing a series entitled I Am Who I Am. Today we will meditate and briefly discuss together I Am the True Vine, which is John 15. It's, as we all know, Holy Week is a journey. And I will try to cover briefly from tonight until tomorrow morning, a bit of a reflection for us. So if we read John 15, verses 5 to 8, the Beloved writes, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I think just a brief, and I imagine everybody knows, I guess the anatomy of how a plant works or a tree works is the branches need to be attached to the main vine of the tree so that it can get the actual nutrition and the actual strength from the main vine, and then once it receives the nutrition, then fruits grow on the branches. So we are called to be part of the vine, who is Christ himself. The vine of a tree gives nutrition to the branches, so without proper nutrition, the branches cannot survive alone. We see ourselves as attached to Christ, and he is the source of our nutrition. So being cut off from him, we truly experience death. So there will be dryness in our life, we will be lonely, there will be sadness and despair. We quickly come to realize that we lack growth and peace without Christ. The fathers speak a lot about this detachment from Christ. This is the spiritual life. So death in the spiritual life is disconnect from God. And life, as we are told, would be equivalent to hell on earth without Christ in our lives. So why is it that Christ wants us to be sober? So he asks us to wake up and to get to know him. So to be sober is to be diligent and to be able to incorporate Christ in every aspect in our lives. And he also speaks to his disciples as well when he was in the garden, when he says to them, "Who do men say that I am?" This is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And he says, and Peter says, "You are the Christ." So Christ asks us the same question as well during this journey of Holy Week. Who do we say that he is? This is an intimate question that each of us answers. And then hopefully by the end of the week, for the glorious resurrection, we're able to answer this question. And then we ask ourselves, is he my Lord and Savior, my bridegroom, who I cannot live without? We prepare ourselves to go through the sufferings that our bridegroom endured for us. So every day we live the sorrow that Christ lived. We are sorrowful, but also joyful because he is victorious and he has pulled us up with him. So the glorious day of the resurrection is our aim throughout Holy Week. A Christian does not know what sadness or despair is. A Christian is always happy and feels empowered by the love of Christ. So to have the submission to Christ and to have him ruler of my heart, this is a beautiful thing to have, and I need to know him. And there is no better time than this week to open up books and Bibles and to learn how to pray. And I think as the fathers speak about prayer, prayer becomes something that we live, and prayer is not simply something that we do while we are in our room behind closed doors. So what does it mean to know who the true vine is? Again, when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had his disciples with him, and then he told him to stay up and to be able to pray with him. Obviously, we know that they kept falling asleep three times. So then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So again, the question stands, and he asked his disciples to stay up with him so that they may be able to know him better. Christ was going through a time of distress. As we remember, he was as well sweating blood due to his distress. This is the flesh. He was fully human and fully divine, so he did experience some attributes of the flesh in its fullness. So when we get to know Christ, we get to know who died for us. Without knowing Christ, we don't know who died on the cross for us. He freed us with the price of his blood on the cross. The price he paid is surety that we are his most prized possessions. There was no other sacrifice that would justify our worth in God's eyes. Nothing else would suffice to pay the price of our freedom. So by understanding the valuable blood that was spilled on the cross for the sake of humanity, we understand how priceless we are as human beings. And nothing else in this world will be able to give value or give any sort of worth to what we're worth apart from the blood of Christ. In one of the liturgies as well, we read, "Neither an angel nor an archangel nor a patriarch have you entrusted with our salvation." So I think this is an important thing to realize, because the Word himself had to be incarnate and to die on the cross for the salvation of humanity. And for us, this is a beautiful thing, because our God established a personal relationship with us. The gift of prayer is what we use to grow deeper in our spiritual lives and to be able to understand who our Christ is. So when we know of the true vine being Christ himself, Christ himself is love. So love by its nature is a resemblance to God insofar as this is humanly possible. In its activity, it is inebriation of the soul. So inebriation means to be consumed. So when love consumes us, the soul becomes not according to its own desires and satisfaction, but it becomes completely engulfed in God. Its distinctive character is to be a foundation of faith, an abyss of patience, a sea of humility. So we look at how Christ dealt with certain people when he was in the world, how he dealt with those that were sick, how he dealt with those that were seen as outcasts, how he dealt with those that were seen as, not a part of the community. For example, the Samaritan woman, who he was very patient with, and then when she realized the love of Christ and she realized who he was, that entire community ended up becoming believers as well in Christ. And here's another quote from a book called 30 Steps to Heaven, which is a smaller version of the Ladder of Divine Ascent by St. John Climacus. So he writes, "If the sight of the one we love truly makes us change completely, so that we turn cheerful, glad, and carefree, what will the face of the Lord himself not do as he comes to dwell invisibly in a pure soul?" Part of having a relationship with God is to become sanctified. Sanctification comes through thanksgiving. Sanctification comes through releasing the shackles of sin and putting aside our own evil desires and our own selfish ambitions, and to live freely for God and to live freely for one another. So this ability to be able to let go of our own personal ambitions or our own personal selfish ways allows us to open up our hearts and to become vulnerable to the true and pure love of our God. St. Cyril of Alexandria says, "It is also together necessary for him to undergo his saving passion for us and to suffer the violence of the Jews." So it is the Lord's, it was necessary for the Lord himself to suffer at the hands of the Jews, to be crucified on the cross for the sake of humanity. It was not possible for anybody else to die this death because it needed to be God himself taking on the sins of the world, because by his death he was only able to conquer the death and to overcome the corruption that came into the world, and the corruption that continues to kill us every day when we disconnect ourselves from God. I will conclude with a quote from a father who wrote a book, a beautiful book, called The Bridegroom. And we can just conclude with this. Our Lord says, "Since we've been destroyed by corruption, I will destroy corruption. I will put corruption on me. I will enter your state. I will still pursue you, even though you don't pursue me, to the ends of the earth, to the pits of hell themselves. I will rescue you because you are my lover." May we all respond and say, "Lord, forgive us for not knowing who you are. Forgive us for we don't pursue you." May this Holy Week be an offering for us to say, may we, Lord, be granted the dignity to accompany you as you rescue us. To our God be the glory.
Christos peyen totir avi avshe.
Yeah.